great. Okay, folks, we're going to start here with...
ODUF.
Revealing the truth about Islam.
The show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam.
Exposing the life of Muhammad. Exposing the errors in the Quran.
It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dekdok.
And hello and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is here, Usama Dekdok, with you from the state of North Carolina, as I'll be speaking the next 4 nights in a church here in some city. I don't even know where I am, believe it or not. I just got here a few minutes ago. Talking to a friend on the phone. Where are you at? I said, I'm North Carolina. Where? I said, I don't know. I just touched the address. Here I am in North Carolina. But a little bit later, I will find the address where I will be speaking tomorrow. Somebody in North Carolina would love to come hear me Sunday night, Monday night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night at 6 o'clock. That is where the church will be speaking. Today, obviously, is March the 25th of the year of our Lord, 2023. And with me tonight, my two wonderful co-hosts and producer, Christy Johnson from Mississippi, and Brother Paul from New York. And I know, Christy, you have already shared in the last 10 minutes, but obviously the people on the radio cannot, did not hear what you're about to share with them. If you don't mind, tell us quickly about what's going on in Mississippi, North Mississippi, with this tornado, which really hit hard. And we know that 20-some people have passed away already from that tornado.
Well, there was a terrible tornado that hit very suddenly. They knew there was some bad weather coming, but it was really unexpected how powerful this particular storm was and how quickly it hit. Many people lost their lives, but the amazing thing is that not as many people lost their lives as you would imagine. Because this thing was more powerful than an F4. I believe they're saying it was an F5. And these little towns that were in the path of this mile-wide tornado, it stayed on the ground for 40 miles. And they say that it traveled through Mississippi into Alabama and I believe Georgia also. There were some deaths in those areas as well. But it just destroyed these little cities, these little towns. So be praying for the people there. I know that it was heartwarming to see all the blue lights and red lights that were there. They called for emergency service people from all over Mississippi to come to help, to look for people and get them out from under debris so they could be hospitalized. So we're still going to have people that have been injured. Seriously, they don't have a count on the number of injuries. But we're praying, you know, that people's lives Amen. Will be saved and that God will be glorified. And the one man that came out of the house that they interviewed, he gave God the glory for Amen. Protecting him and
well, you know
saving
what?
His
if
life.
Live, if you are a believer in Christ, to the Lord you live. If you die, to the Lord you die. If we live, we'll die. We are the Lord anyway. So this is not a hard time for the believer, sadly. It's a hard time of the unbeliever when they go through the struggle. And I know that the devil will use that to make people hate even God. Say, what kind of God is this who allows tornadoes like that to happen? And which in reality, we all deserve literally not just punishment to death physically in this world, but eternally to separate from God and hell because of our sins. And I believe when God created this world, it was perfect. It was good. That is before sin. That is before the flood. That is before all these things which happened to us. This, what we see, is a result of our sin. This is the result of our rebellion. God did not meant it for people to be dead, even in his plan that Adam should be alive today. Literally, can you imagine with me, Adam would be 6,000 years old man, still alive today. But because Adam sinned and we sinned and then brought this to the world. So it's not because bad things happened that we will blame God. Why we cannot thank God for the good years and the good days of our life? We just love to complain about the bad things. So believers, we know, no matter what happens, this is the Lord's will. There will be written. It's written for each and every one of us. There will be time we will be dead. There's time for us to die. And then there's judgment. So I hope and I pray for the unbelievers to know that don't complain about what God allows this thing to happen. It doesn't matter what disaster it is, because it is part of life, death. The important is get ready to meet with the Lord for eternity. And that is how you can know for sure you can be forgiven for your sin if you trust in Jesus. The same God who sent the tornado yesterday to North Mississippi, it is the same God who loved you so much. He sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross. The one who do not know sin became sin, that he may save us. And he pays the penalty of our sin, which is death. So I hope and I pray that people will realize that, hey, it could be next. I'm alive today. It could be dead one. So better be ready, reconciled with the Father through Christ. So if something happened and you die tonight, next week, next month, next year, you know for sure that you are forgiven. Your sin is forgiven because of what Jesus did. And you would know for sure you have eternal life. I know Brother Paul have an accident. He hurt himself. I don't know if you want to share that or not, but Paul.
I fell last Sunday, and it definitely used everybody's prayers. I finally went to the doctor on Thursday, and they insisted on an x-ray, and they think it's fractured. I'm waiting for the result of the x-ray, but we'll see.
Well, we pray for you.
We'll pray. Ice, of course, he fell because of ice. So we'll pray that the Lord will bring full healing for your body.
Yeah, Sunday was all ice here in Rochester.
No, yeah,
Sister Christy, not everywhere like Mississippi was hot.
Well, it doesn't have to be cold for people to fall.
This morning when I left Missouri, it was cold. So I have long underwear and I'm wearing heavy clothes and everything. And boy, by the time I got in the middle of Tennessee, I was hot, sweating, getting out of the car, changing all my clothes, but some summer clothes like you see now, summer clothes. Anyway. By the way, I found out where I am, so the next format I'll be speaking at 6 o'clock, and that is Truth Memorial First Baptist Church in Hayesville, North Carolina. Once again, the address here is, let me give you the address, 22 Hiawassee Street. That is Hayesville, North Carolina. We just typed the church address, which is Truth Memorial First Baptist Church in Hayesville, North Carolina. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday at night, 6 o'clock, I'll be speaking. And I'll be covering some of the material of lies in the textbooks. It's a long study, and we have done it here with Christy and Paul. We did three of us. It took us, I don't know,
a good number of sessions. I think it was almost 20 sessions.
Oh, whatever. I remember now. But so in this format, I'm going to cover maybe, I hope, you know, some of these, like 7, 8, I'm not able to cover all of these. All right. Christy or Paul, I know you guys have some articles, as you mentioned in the first part of our program, Paul, tonight and next Saturday, and maybe the following Saturday. We're going to be talking about Ramadan and the falsehood of the fasting of Ramadan as Muslims celebrate this every year. But also we're going to cover the normal material which we study at 10 o'clock, which is Central Time, 11 o'clock here Central in the Eastern Time. We'll be talking about Moses as we continue to study what the Quran says about Moses. Today we're part 16. And for now, let's spend a half hour or so to talk about different articles. Things happen around the world. I'll start with Christy, ladies first, if you want to share something, Christy.
Don't do that.
Well,
I had a couple of things that I just wanted to share. One of them is that the Iranians who have been fleeing Iran have been going into Armenia, and there is a U.S.-based ministry there that is ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ. And they're trying to help these people who have been basically, if you become a Christian, you know, in a Muslim country, you will be persecuted or arrested or Lord only knows what. So
the punishment of Allah is killing.
Yes. So we have Gateway Missions there that have been meeting with Iranians who have been fleeing from their country into Armenia. I just think it's important that people know, please be praying, because right now there are signs of I'm going to say this without you know, I don't have proof, but there's a lot of evidence that there is a worldwide revival that is starting to take place in many different countries, and it in hoping and praying that this is a change in people's perspective. But we want to pray especially for those people who are in countries where they literally have to flee in order to be protected from Islamic terror. If they become a Christian and they were a Muslim, it's especially difficult. So please pray that there'll be more ministry and more people coming to know Jesus. So that's been a good story.
You know, it's true, Chrissy. Millions of Muslims are leaving Islam. Sadly, majority of them are becoming ilmani, those who believe in science, those who do not believe in God. They believe in evolution. They believe in anything, but nothing about religious, nothing about God or anything. A few thousands of these millions are becoming a Christian. So I believe it's a wonderful time of harvest. And sadly, this harvest, if it will not be collected, the storm of this life, the rain and the wind will cause these people to lose it. And sadly, to see this. And I said this many times to some of these Muslims who invited me, ex-Muslims, to speak in their channel against Islam. And when I started sharing the gospel of Jesus, said, no, we don't want you to share with us about Jesus. We just want to destroy Islam. Our goal is to destroy Islam. These are ex-Muslims from Iran, from Pakistan. And I said, wait a minute. Dying as a non-Muslim without knowing Christ will cause you to spend the same place, your eternity, with Muhammad as a Muslim. So let's pray that the Lord will send workers for the field is white for those who are leaving Islam. They're leaving Islam anyway. Want to share the truth with them, the truth of the gospel, to lead them to Christ.
Yeah, one of the other stories related to that is that there are a number of Iranians who are chanting death to Palestine in protest. And this was a story that actually started in the early part of the month of last year, about a little less than a year ago. And so we have so much confusion going on among people who are slaves, really, to Islam, that they don't know who their friends are and who their enemies are. And if Islam is wrong, then they can come to the conclusion that, you know, everything's wrong. We don't believe in God. And that is the biggest tragedy, like Islam said. That is the biggest tragedy. So pray for those people who are courageous enough to be opening their doors and opening their hearts to bring Muslims to Christ. Also in Nigeria, please be praying because the Nigerian Christians, particularly in one particular city, it's a state, Kaduna State in Nigeria, a Baptist pastor was killed, his son was killed, and then they kidnapped the pastor's wife and three other people. This is a common thing that happens in Islam, but we're seeing that while Nigerians, there have been a lot of Christians in Nigeria, the persecution against them is growing greater and greater. At the same time, that revival is going on. So, you know, we got a clash, and people's lives are being lost in the midst of this.
Well, Brother Paul, it's your turn. Let's hear a couple of articles or a couple of...
So I'm going to read this one real quick. This is in France. It's because it's titled, "Because he doesn't like female bus drivers?" A man dressed in his djellaba attacks two women with his bare hands, including a 70-year-old woman who was hospitalized, and he was arrested in a mosque. This happened on Wednesday, March 22nd. A man beat up the driver of a minibus in Rue Carrege in Vesoul, who had come to pick up a girl from in the area. Her grandmother was accompanying her. He took the children to safety. She testified as a witness. The perpetrator injured the second victim, who was in serious condition. He arrested it. Again, he was arrested at the mosque. He beat up a 51-year-old woman and then went after a 72-year-old woman. And then they caught him at the mosque. Like, and he said, this is what he said. The one that got me. Maybe that's not. This is not the one. I got another article. It's got a guy that makes a statement.
Well, it said the reality is that Islam teaches Muslims to do that to non-Muslims. It is actually a foundation of Islam. The pillar of jihad and the killing of infidels, it is the command of Allah. It is the sunnah of Muhammad. That's how Muhammad lived. That's how all Muslims ought to live. Thank God not every Muslim practices Islam, because if every Muslim practices Islam, there will not be non-Muslim in the world. It's the reality. It will be the end of every man, woman who does not believe, who does not submit to the cult of Islam, is the end of his life. Is that? That's what it is. But we'll pray. We'll pray that some of the Muslims see what these people are doing and perhaps they go back to their Islam and learn the truth about Islam so they can leave Islam and help us to get rid of that lavish cult. Pray for the Paul.
The next article I have, I'm putting that one in the chat room. This was a kind of an eye-opener. Yeah, let me just get there. This happened on the first day of Ramadan. Five men were arrested for terrorism offenses in England. Now, this was covered by the BBC. Counterterrorism police detained the men in Worcester, Birmingham, Leicester, and Bradford on Tuesday. Men are aged between 26 and 67 were arrested on suspicion of conspiracy to commit offenses under the Terrorism Act, provide money, property, for use in acts of terrorism. Police said there was no immediate threat to public safety. All were transported to prison.
Now, understand, Paul, it's the month of Ramadan. It is a month where Muslims receive multiple rewards for committing the same offense they would do in any other month of the year. It is the month where Muslims are blessed that Allah gives them, open blessing to do these terrorist acts. And it's amazing that even when you read this article like you read right now, you will never see the connection between Islam and what these people are doing. They will not have the guts to teach exactly like we do here, revealing the truth about the cult of Islam, the established cult of Islam. We're not making it up. We're not going to sugarcoat Islam. This is Islam. This is the reality of Islam. And Muslims have a joy to do that during the month of Ramadan, better than any other month. Ten blessings. Can you imagine when you kill an infidel? It's like killing 10 infidels. You'll be rewarded 10 times more. That's how evil Islam is, especially during the month of Ramadan. That is the month which Muslims killing all that the Quran came down in the month of Ramadan. Nothing came down in the month of Ramadan. The Quran is a comedy, miracle of Muhammad. Man, I wrote two articles today, and one of them is about fasting. The other one is about fasting. I can't remember now what's the other one. We work hard, Sister Karen and I, my secretary, to write these. Literally, I've been driving for 10 hours, work on this material. If Muhammad was Muhammad, illiterate man. These are the two articles. And boy, the more, I wish Muslims just read my article. Because I'm taking them back to the Quran. I'm taking back to Muhammad to see that is your Islam. Even the fasting, as we're going to be talking about fasting. This is not true. That Ramadan is a comedy. That month of fasting is a joke. Muslims never fasted a day in their life. We talked about that last Ramadan. We're going to talk about it next Ramadan, if the Lord is willing, and I'm still here, and I'm still alive. This is truth. No such a thing as fasting in Islam. All right. Well, Brother Paul, you have anything else you want to share?
I have one more, and this is a result of, I'm just going to push that into the chat room. You want to check out this article.
Mm-hmm.
This is one of the first attacks. It's on France 24. Islamic State group kills 15 truffle hunters in Syria. Now this happened on the 24th, which was yesterday, second day of Ramadan. The Islamic State group killed 15 people foraging for desert truffles in conflict ravaged central Syria by cutting their throats, while 40 others are missing. So they may have killed 40 others. They're missing. So it's pretty bad.
Welcome to Islam. Welcome to the beauty of Islam. This is sick. This is actually sick. Well, I have some material. If you don't mind, Brother Paul, maybe help Chrissy. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just had one more thing. I thought it would be good to know or share. Anybody missed it? You know that Saudi Arabia is trying to reestablish their relationship with Iran, and they're also working now to reestablish ties with Syria. So it's kind of interesting how this is going. Like everything else, it seems those that are enemies are coming together, and that is something that happens in Islam. So this was on Thursday that they are now reestablishing ties with Damascus and having their, I guess, their embassies to be reopened now between these two countries. And we know, I couldn't believe Iran and Saudi Arabia were making an agreement to have diplomatic relations again. So too bad for the rest of the world. But anyway, I think that's biblical prophecy being fulfilled, actually.
Yeah, we are close. Guys, we're closely in. I don't know what will what America will look like in the first term. And if you can imagine with me, they will literally do what they did last election one more time, 2024. there's no America.
Did you hear Trump made a speech tonight? Did you, either one of you?
No, I was traveling. I came into that church where I'm speaking.
Yeah. Well, it's basically the same thing.
Yeah.
He said this next election, it will, well, I realize that, but I'm just letting you know, Trump, because he's, one thing I have to say, Trump will say exactly what's on his mind, and he brought that up. He said America is not going to survive another election disaster. There's,
well, if Biden did what he did to this country in the last 2 years, or 2 years plus, you know, 4 months, okay? Can you imagine we have another 18 months like that for the next term? And if he is the president for the next 4 years, it doesn't matter if he's dead in a box. If you put him in an ice cooler, you know, and he's dead, the country's gone. The country is gone.
I'm not sure that isn't true already.
Yeah, well, I don't know how can we fix the damage the Democrat did in the last 23 months, 26 months.
With God's help is the only way. It will be a miracle. It would take a miracle. And even if Biden is out of office in the next election, it will still take a miracle to bring the country back. But I am excited to see there is a wave of people who are seeking the Lord. And a lot of students in high school, I mean, in the university, not just Ashbury, but other universities, they said there's a revival going on in traditionally black colleges. These are the ones that Trump gave funding, permanent funding to. Like, they were only, they had to reapply every year to get funding. And there is a revival going on in many of those schools. And I was excited to see that because the black community has been devastated by so many policies under the Democrats that tell them they're helping them. So I was happy to see, because that is what will change America, is a revival.
Hopefully,
you need white people to get in revival too. You know,
yes,
this isn't just about
move in the country. As it is, I believe, I talked to some of our friends actually from different parts of the world, and they all share the same thing. In different parts of the world, there is revival. In Africa, there is revival. In Asia, there is revival.
Uganda.
So we pray that the Lord will move into bring. I believe if there is true revival right now, I believe once again that's the last revival before the Lord comes back. We're not talking about that the church will have revival for hundreds of years, no, or even tens of years. No, it's just that last wave the last movement, and then we will go down in the end of time.
All right. You got a question, and I think it's a good one for us to...
I'll highlight it. Okay. And here we go. I don't understand Saudi Arabia was uniting with Iran. Are they both Sunni?
No, obviously Iran is Shiite. 95% or so of Iranian Shiite. And Saudi is majority Sunni. There's hardly any Shiite in Saudi Arabia. But you have to understand, in Islam, me and my brother against our cousin, and me and my cousin against our enemy. So if you see any movement among Muslims of unity, it is what I call timber unity for the purpose of getting rid of the biggest enemy, which is somebody else. So I will not be surprised. And by the way, Iran is obviously is about to have its nuclear. Saudi is afraid from the Iran. If the United States will not support Saudi, Saudi will become friends with any Muslim.
That's right.
I mean, Saudi will become a Muslim with Israel if Israel will help them against Iran. But if the Saudi found out that the Jew, the infidel, the wicked, evil Jew cannot help them, they're going to join the enemy, which they are willing to pay money for the Israelites to get rid of. You see, it's just a set of rules. Can you imagine? Me and my brother.
If you only exist in Islam, the longer it's like you can beat your enemy.
Sure. But if you can imagine, me and my brother, I guess our own cousin, and me and my cousin against the neighbors, the other guy down there. It is Islam. Islam 101. Literally, that's how Islam started. That's how Islam continues the last 400 years, where Muslims are united with other Muslims if they're afraid of them, if they cannot get rid of them. But if there's an enemy to both of these countries who are willing to help one of them to get rid of the other Muslim, they have no problem. That's why during Trump, Saudi signed the Abrahamic, covenant, whatever it was.
It was the Abrahamic Accords that Trump put together.
Okay.
Yeah.
I could not believe that a bunch of Muslims would join hands with Israel. Why?
Yeah.
Because they know Israel is strong. Israel is a powerful country. Israel will protect them from the Iran. Okay? But if Israel's not going to protect them from Iran, then Iran is my best friend.
Okay? Well, a lot of that is because the United States isn't protecting anybody.
Sure. The problem for these countries is Saudi or whatever country, that they know America is so weak.
That's it.
America is a sick ally to have right now. So why do you want to be an ally with somebody who would do nothing to protect his own people from these enemies? So I might as well join the Iranians and say we're best friends. Because I know America will not help and Israel will not help. So what are you going to do? Get rid of Obama.
This is the danger of when people don't pay attention to elections. And I have a lot of people who don't. And they go, oh, yeah, we always vote Democrat. Oh, we always vote Republican. Or we always vote, we just never vote. You need to pay attention. These are the consequences of what policies we're trying to say. It isn't about what party people are with, honestly. It's about their policies. And when their policies,
their agenda,
yeah,
their goals.
You need to know what they are, because it affects the whole world. The weakness of America is affecting the entire world.
That is good. All right. Let's. I want to switch our talk, if you guys don't mind, about Ramadan, since we are right now in the month of Ramadan, and we already have seen some of the fruits of that wonderful month in Europe and different countries around the world. I promise you, there are more happening to the Christian in the Muslim countries, and we will never hear of it. We will never know of it. If you can hear about something happening in France and Germany, that's by accident. I don't think the French or the German or anybody in Europe would love to let anybody know about what the Muslims are doing in their country, because they're all afraid of them. At least they're afraid of the good one who have not done anything harmful yet. So they are keeping it in a low gear. Let's keep it calm. Don't even allow anybody to say anything against Muslim Islam, because they are in the corner. They are so coward that they are willing to do anything to appease the Muslims. If you see, Saudi is willing to become friends with Iran. Saudi is willing to become friends with Iran. When in reality, Saudi killed the Iranian, Iran killed the Saudi from the days of Muhammad, when Muhammad died. Can you imagine the British and the German and the Swedish and the French They will kiss up with the Muslims. They'll give them whatever they want. But please don't harm me. Please don't kill me. Please don't rape my wife and my daughter. Because that's the reality of how Europe is going to end in a bad situation. So, month of Ramadan. Let's open the Quran, Brother Paul, if you don't mind. And read for me. We're going to read just a couple of verses. We're not going to read too much tonight because we have our own study. Hopefully next week we'll get into this.
What are we reading?
Let's go to Quran chapter 2. Quran chapter 2 and verse 183, 184, 185. Three verses.
All right. I'll put it on the screen just a second.
Yes, please. Take your time. Quran chapter 2, verse 183, 184, 185. It's not actually the right order because we're talking about that chapter 2 in the Quran, which is a Medina chapter, but that's okay. Whenever you read it on the phone, if you can share. I'm
trying to get my mouse here to get it put up over on the screen. There we go.
That's okay.
Here we go. And I'll put it up on the screen.
Are you having a problem with your computer?
No, I'm just getting there. Okay, here we go. And
all right,
Okay. 183. Oh, you who have believed, Siyam.
Siyam. The word Siyam is the word fasting. It's a non-Arabic word. Here we go. The Quran has many non-Arabic words, even though Allah said clear Arabic. Clear Arabic, my foot. Go ahead.
It's decreed to you as it was decreed to those before you. Perhaps you may fear.
Okay, perhaps you may fear. Now, let's talk about it. Fasting is decreed to the Muslim as it was decreed on those who before. Who are the those before him, before them? The Jews and the Christians. Believe it or not. Yesterday, I did a lot of reading in the Bible. All the way from Genesis to Malachi, and all the way from Matthew to the book of Revelation. And I could not find that God, the God of the Bible, have decreed on the people to fast. Not the Jews, not the Christians. And the only place we read about God speaking about fasting, it's in the book of Joel, chapter 1 and 2, where God said, you need to do some truth repentance. We'll get to these verses, close wording, maybe next week, if not the following week. We're going to get to it because I'm going to talk about fasting in Islam first, and then we're going to talk about fasting in the biblical teaching. Most of them are fasting because Allah said fast. Why they're fasting? Because they're copying other people who before them, and the other people before them fasted, therefore most of them have to fast. Really? Is that the reason? Is that the reason why most of them are fasting? Most of them are fasting because the Jews and the Christians were fasting. That really makes a lot of sense. Now I feel good about it. I would like to become a Muslim so I can fast like the Jews and the Christians fast. And Allah did not decree on the Jews nor the Christians to do the fasting of Ramadan. If you say as, you know what the word as means, Paul?
No.
This is like that. As this is that. I do not know anywhere in the Bible that Moses or anybody, by the way, Joel, the prophet Joel, is way, hundreds of years after Moses. None of the Jewish people fasted 30 days like Muslims fast the month of Ramadan. As we're going to be seeing, perhaps if not next week or following week, Muslims do not fast. Muslims do not know what is to fast. Let me go to the game. I'll give you a simple answer right now. Turning the day to night and the night to day is not fasting. The yawm Allah has spoken about in the Quran, which is also a Hebrew word, is a 24-hour period. That is a yawm. So you have all day and all night. That makes one yawm. So if a Muslim fasts one yawm, one day, he or she must fast 24 hours. When in reality, Muslims never fasted a day. All what they did, as we're going to see in that passage here, we'll see, they actually decided, well, I'm not going to eat the breakfast, lunch, and dinner during the day. But we're going to eat breakfast, lunch, and another lunch, and dinner, and another dinner during the night. So instead of eating three meals, you're eating five, six meals during the night. And during the day, you're not working. Literally, they're not working. And if you ask him to do something in an office, in a government office in Egypt, Can't you see I'm fasting? It's Ramadan. Oh, they see I'm a Christian. They jump on me because they know I am not fasting, but they are fasting. So they go to work at 10 o'clock and they leave at 1 o'clock. They actually work 3 hours on that day. And they consider this work. And they complain about it because we are not fasting like they are fasting. And they go home and snore the rest of the day. And when the time to eat, they eat literally 3-4 times more food than any other month of the year. And they call that fasting. Well, good luck with your fasting. Because, I'm sorry, the God of the Bible never said to the Jews and the Christians to fast 30 days a month of Ramadan. Or any other month of the year. The God of the Bible never command people to stop eating during the day and eat at night. Because that's not fasting. That's a comedy. That's a joke.
That's skipping lunch.
No, but if you see the Muslims gain weight during the month of Ramadan, I can only imagine. Guys, I lost 9 pounds the last 2 weeks. The last 2 weeks, I literally lost 9 pounds. I don't know if I can show you. My stomach is flat right now. 9 pounds. You know why? Because I'm doing a little bit of physical work. And I'm not eating breakfast. Imagine with me if I will stop eating breakfast and lunch and dinner for 24 and I eat a simple meal and then 24 and a simple meal. You know how much I weight I'm going to lose? I guarantee you, I will lose 25 pounds, 30 pounds. But Muslims, in the end of the month of Ramadan, they gain 25, 30 pounds. There's no way, Christy Johnson, that you can fast a week and gain 5 pounds. Will you? Well, what happened if you fast for 1 week?
I'm going to put this up on the screen. control yourself says, I eat 2 meals a day, breakfast and dinner. I didn't realize I have been fasting for 8 years without lies, Islam died.
Exactly. Appreciate the comment. Control yourself. I'm trying to control myself. You give me the perfect name for once in a while I jump up to help me to control myself. So now let's read again. Verse 183, Quran chapter 2. Oh, you have believed? Siyam, fasting is decreed to you as it was decreed to those before you. I'm sorry. Nobody have decreed anything on the Jews or the Christians to fast. That is a lie from the bottom of hell by Allah's word in the Quran. And this is, and this was it. Perhaps you may fear. Excuse me? Who's speaking here? Allah? The God
Allah
of
Allah doesn't fast? Know. He's got to say perhaps.
But what fear has to do with fast? Do the Jews and the Christian fast is that perhaps they fear?
No.
What happens if I don't fast? Does that mean I don't fear God? Read the following verse.
Numbered days. I have no idea what that means, but so wherever.
It's a numbered days. We need to do a study on Muhammad and numbers in the Quran. Remember,
yes.
I told you that 300 times. That's one of the common things. Number days. Can you tell me how many days exactly? I want to know. How many days?
Yes, that's why I picked on that. Numbered days. It doesn't say
well,
how many.
Then, read the rest of the verse. You understand why he did not
so
be able to say.
Whoever among you who was sick or traveling, so he will fast the same number of other days.
Okay. So here is, and by the way, we're going to see that a little bit later. The same message is repeated in many verses of the Quran. If you're sick or if you're traveling, you don't have to fast. Well, today I travel from Missouri to North Carolina. I'm not supposed to fast today because I was traveling, okay? Which means what? In the end of the month of Ramadan, I will fast exactly that 1 day here plus 2 days when I'm traveling next week to Alabama and the other day when I'm going to Kansas City. These are 5 days I'm going to skip. After Ramadan is over, I have to fast extra 5 days because I skipped these 5 days. Can you imagine how wonderful this is? Number of days, 28, or 29. Depends who saw the new moon when Ramadan started and who saw the new moon when Ramadan ended. Because believe it or not, it's comedy. It's comedy.
Yeah.
In Egypt, which by the way, Egypt is fall between Saudi Arabia and Morocco. Egypt is in the middle, okay? There's 2 hours to get to Saudi Arabia and 3 hours to get to Morocco. We're in the middle, okay? So you don't use telescope to look at the new moon to figure out the beginning of these days, the number of days. So what do? You look by your own eye. By your naked eye, you look at the sky. If you can see the new moon, oh, Allahu Akbar, Ramadan has started. Let's start fasting. I'm going to go through the days of Ramadan, and then the moon will get so big, 14 moon, and then the moon will appear.
Usama, wait a minute. You said if you see the new moon, Ramadan starts, right?
Yes.
Doesn't that mean feasting starts?
That means what?
Doesn't that mean the feast starts first?
No.
Because you feast at night, right, if you're seeing the moon.
Oh, yeah. But that's the day you're going to eat good for the first day you're going to be fasting. You're right. And then the moon gets big, 14 days or so, and then the moon gets small and the moon disappears. When you see the new moon by your eye, that is the end of the month of Ramadan, so which means that's it. No more fasting. You see the moon at night, okay, the new moon starts.
Oh, it's another feast, right?
Another feast. You start with feast and you end with feast, and between the 28 or 29 days. But here's what happens. In Saudi Arabia, they can see the moon, the new moon. So they start the month of Ramadan. In Egypt, it's a little bit dirty country. Lots of smoke and maybe cloudy day and whatever, we cannot see the new moon. So we say, oh, Ramadan did not start. In Morocco, which is across, it's a clear, wonderful day. These stars and moon start. Oh, Ramadan starts. So Saudi Arabia in the east of Egypt, Morocco in the west of Egypt, they both start Ramadan. But we in the middle of Egypt did not, because we did not see the moon by our own eyes. So obviously the Egyptian will fast one day less than the poor Saudi and the poor Morocco. When in reality, neither the Saudi, nor the Morocco, nor the Egyptian, nor Muhammad, nor any Muslim have ever fasted a day. When I say a day, yawm is 24 hours. And the day starts with the sunset and ends with the sunset. So it is the opposite of what Muslims do. If you see the moon at night, as Brother Paul said, you start eating. Fill it in, man. But it's good because you're going to be fasting the next 12 hours. 10 o'clock in the evening, 12 o'clock in the evening, 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. We're going to see when we stop eating, the fasting, as according to the Quran. And then you go hungry all day. And then here's the sun down. Here is the star. Oh, now we eat again. Are you kidding me? That's fasting. But that is how ridiculous it is. The number of days. Could be 28, could be 29. Only Allah knows. Okay. So we got number of days, sir. Okay. Now, if you're sick or if you're traveling, you're going to same whatever number. You were sick for 4 days, Paul. After Ramadan is over, these 4 days, you have to fast it. You're traveling for 2-3 days. Whatever number of days you could not fast, you have to fast them later. The important is you match the number of other people fasted during that month. Go ahead. What come up with that?
And as for those who are not able to keep it, the atonement will be the feeding of a poor one.
Okay. I could not fast, man. I'm an old man. I can't fast. Or I am a rich man. I don't want to fast. Why do I suffer? I get somebody else hungry and feed him. So you don't even actually have to fast. Just feed somebody who's hungry. It's equal to fasting. Allahu Akbar. Mashallah. Can I see the Shahada right now so I can become a good Muslim? I don't have to fast. All I need to do is feed somebody because I couldn't.
Wait a minute. If you're feeding them during Ramadan.
No. You're not going to feed them during the day. You're going to feed them during the Ramadan at night. Or
okay. I was a certain one.
Come on, Paul. You feed them after Ramadan. One day, 3 meals, that equals to 1 day of fasting. You see the negotiation between Allah and the Muslim man? It's a good business. How many people, you can imagine, you bring 30 people, if you're a rich guy, 30 people and serve them good meals 3 times a day, you pass the month of Ramadan. Why do I need to suffer? Why do I need to struggle? Now, do we read that in the Bible? Because fasting in the Quran, Siyam, is equal to that which is before them to the Jews and the Christians. Show me where in the Bible, Sister Christie, that if you are traveling or you're sick, you fast these days later, or show me in the Bible. If you don't want to fast for some reason, you know, whatever reason it is, just feed some poor people. Equal to fast. Do we see that anywhere in the Bible?
No.
Are you sure, Chris? You're not making this up.
No, I'm very sure you don't see
that. The fasting of Ramadan is not like the fasting which was written for the Jews and the Christians, which, by the way, nothing was written, nothing was prescribed for the Jews and the Christians about fasting. We're going to talk about that later. Okay? Keep going, brother. Keep going.
Okay. And he who volunteers good, so it is good for him. And if you fast, it is good for you, if you were knowing.
Volunteer, man. Volunteer good is good for you. Okay? But if you fast, it's even better for you, you know? What is negotiation between Allah and the Muslims? What kind of God is that? Is it decree for me to fast or not? If it's good or not, what volunteer are you talking about? So we're making business here? Is this how Allah do business with the Muslims? Negotiation? If you were known. Now, I don't know. I don't want to know even. But so far, I'm reading about fasting, and the first passage of the Quran, it sounds like a comedy. Lies and deal. Lies and deal. Okay, move on, 185.
The Shahar.
The Shahar, the month. The word Shahar. It's another non-Arabic word in the Quran. We got 279 words in the pure Arabic Quran are not Arabic. They're not Arabic. And I love it because in my article about what Muhammad illiterate, they say, Muslim will tell you that Muhammad is illiterate. Why? Because they want to praise him so much. Why? Because if he's an educated man and he wrote the Quran, big deal. But if he's an uneducated man and he can write this beautiful Quran, that means he's really prophet. How can he know all of these things in the Quran, especially when he's illiterate? The man cannot read and write. How did he know all that? I said, wait a minute. Are you assuming that the Quran is good? A perfect book? The Quran is not that good. The Quran book is full of errors. We're in our study of Moses. Program today is number what? What's the program number today?
16.
Can you imagine? We have 16 hours of error in one story. we're not even finished with Moses. But you think
Adam was mocking us because it was so... They're not. It's not that much about Moses in the Quran, but there's that much error.
And we have not even covered yet one of the teachings of Moses comparing to the teaching of Muhammad. The Sharia, the Jewish Sharia, comparing to the Quran Sharia, the Muhammad Sharia. It is the opposite. Everything Muhammad taught is the opposite of everything Moses taught. We're just talking about the story of Moses, okay? We have not got to the life, the ministry, the teaching of Moses. That will be another book we can cover in the 160 program. I promise you. 160 will be just enough to cover the difference between the teaching of Moses and the teaching of Muhammad. But for Moses to think the Quran is perfect, holy word of Allah. Yes, holy, full of holes. Okay? As we've covered in the last 15, 16 today, and who knows, maybe 10 more to finish Moses. The story of Moses, not the ministry of Moses, the teaching of Moses. That's number one. Number two, are you assuming that Muhammad wrote the Quran by himself? Nobody helped him? I mean, maybe Muhammad is so ignorant. He is so dumb. He knows nothing about reading or writing or anything. He's not a good prophet. What if somebody helped him to write the Quran? And what is so amazing, if you read my article, which is going to be published in a couple of weeks or so, if you want to read, I'll send it to you. We'll be happy. Just subscribe to our email. Once a month, you get one of my articles, okay? Beautiful article. You enjoy reading it. When you read the Quran, Muhammad said, wait a minute. They are assuming that somebody has helped me, but when you fix it out, you figure out that somebody, they said, is helping me to write the Quran in the corner. Therefore, he could not help me. Wow. As a matter of fact, me and you, Paul, we talked about that. The too many non-Arabic words in the Quran is a great evidence that truly somebody who is not an Arab speaker helped Muhammad write the Quran, because how in the world you put Siyam and you put Shah in two verses? Here, non-Arabic word, Hebrew word, Syriac word in the Quran. That means maybe the guy who was helping Muhammad was not an Arab. Maybe the defense Muhammad gave himself to say, that guy did not help me. He does not speak Arabic. Maybe actually he got caught because there are many non-Arabic words in the Quran, which means somebody helped Muhammad was not an Arab. Anyway, so Shahr, the Shahr of Ramadan, the month of Ramadan
in which the Quran was sent down a guidance to the people and proofs of the guidance and of the distinguisher.
Stop for a minute, brother. Stop for a minute. So the 16 days, 28 days of Ramadan, that is the month where Ramadan, where the Quran was sent down to Muhammad. Excuse me. I thought Muhammad wrote the Quran in 23 years. If Muhammad wrote the Quran 23 days, how in the world Allah said to me that that is the month where the Quran came down? Oh, no. You see, you're not a scholar, Mr. Dakhtar. You don't know what you're talking about. You're a fool. Why is that, Mr. Muhammad, Mr. Ali, Mr. Singh? Because that is the month where the Quran came down from the seven heavens to the heaven of the earth. Wrong. You know why? Because your Allah is wrong. Your Muhammad is wrong. Your Jibreel is wrong. There's only three heavens. Well, so therefore, there is no Quran came from the seventh or the sixth or the fifth or the fourth heaven. If the Quran will come from the heaven, it come from the third heaven. And believe me, you don't want me to start tonight to show you or to prove to you no such a thing the Quran came from anywhere above. Because the Quran is not on a guarded board. Because Allah could not protect his Quran. Because Allah changed his mind about his own Quran himself. Because people changed the word of Allah of the Quran. Abu Bakr and Osman and Umar and all these wonderful Muslims who wrote about the Quran changed so many words in the Quran. And we lost so many of the chapters of the Quran. And we lost so many verses in the Quran. Don't you just tell me that the Quran came down. And don't you tell me, oh, I memorize the Quran. Because when you do that, you're stupid, according to your scholars. Don't say I memorize the Quran, but I memorize what I know about the Quran, because you do not know how much of the Quran is gone. Says who? Says your scholars. So the Quran did not came from the heaven. Not the fourth, not the fifth, not the sixth, not the seventh. Because these four heavens do not exist. Period. And nothing was written in any garbage board. Because if you believe that the Quran is written on a garbage board and came down to the first heaven, so Jibreel can bring it to Muhammad month by month, that's a comedy. Because the angels, according to the Quran, the book we're talking about, they come down from heaven to earth in a day equal 1,000 years of what we count. I know from the reading of the bibliography of Muhammad by Ibn Hisham and Ibn Isaac and all these wonderful Muslim scholars who write me about Muhammad, that Muhammad met with Jibreel many times. Now, Jibreel go up to Allah, come down from heaven, tell Muhammad the verses, go back to Allah, come down from heaven, speak more to Muhammad, go back to Allah, come down to earth to speak to Muhammad. Excuse me, how many times? Hundreds of times. If every time Jibreel needs 1,000 years of what we count on earth to come from heaven to earth, that means he only met with Muhammad one time. There is no way in 23 years Jibreel can meet with Muhammad more than one time. There's no way. The whole thing is a joke. No such a thing, the month of Ramadan, where the Quran came down on Muhammad. As a matter of fact, I know many of the sources of the verse of the Quran came from people who were here on earth, like Omar. Like Omar. Where Allah agreed with Omar on many verses of the Quran. So Omar did not bring any verses from the seven heavens. He just made up from his head.
Do you want to finish this then? So whoever among you witnesses the month, so let them fast it.
Oh, here we go. So I was not making it up. Whoever among you witnesses the month. You know what he mean by that, Brother Paul?
I'm a little confused because I thought you had to be able to see something to be able to witness it.
That's it. That's it. You look by your eyes, my friend, with your naked eye to the sky in this beautiful night where the stars is bright shining and you see the new moon. Now you are a witness of the month of Ramadan. Slave could not do it. A woman could not do it. One man can do it. Even though there is other...
You can see a month.
Even though there's other hadith that you have to have two people to witness the moon. You witness the moon, you start fasting. Okay, and whoever was sick, go ahead, brother.
So let them fast it, and whoever was sick or traveling, so a like number of days. Allah desires the ease for you and does not desire the difficulty for you, that you complete the number.
Oh,
and you
don't
may...
You love Allah? Oh, don't you love Allah? Allah does not have hardship with the Muslim man. Allah loves the Muslims. Allah want to make it easy for you. You know what, brother Paul? I'm sick tonight. I'm sorry, I'm sick, I can't fast tomorrow. That's okay, fast it next month. After Ramadan, come Sha'ban. The month of Sha'ban, come after the month of Ramadan. You can fast it next week. Okay? Relax, take it easy. Well, I have to travel. I have to go all the way to Alabama next week. I can't fast that day. Okay? So what are you going to do? Is one day I was sick. One day I was going to Alabama. Another day I was, you know, something else. Oh, 3 days I fast them later. Remember? I don't want to fast. That's okay. Feed three people, man. Feed three people, three meals. You're fine. You got it, buddy. Allah want to make it so easy for the good Muslim. So the Muslim will not suffer. We don't want to suffer for Allah. You know that all the people in the Bible, as we're going to be reading the Bible, who fasted, they fasted on their own. They fasted by their free will. They fasted by wearing all clothes, all cut clothes. They fasted by sitting on ashes and covering themselves with ashes. They're suffering by their own free will because they want to be broken before the God of the Bible, Almighty God, not Allah. We want to make it easy. What is the purpose for fasting if you can make it easy? I mean, exactly, think with me. You're suffering for 24 hours or 48 hours or 72 hours or maybe a week or maybe a month or maybe a 40 days like our Lord and our Savior Jesus fast. 40 days, 40 nights, no food, no drink. Can you imagine? All the people in the Bible fasted between 3 days or 6 days, David, or 40 days our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can you imagine? Oh, I don't feel good today. I'm sick today. Fast it next month. Are you kidding me? Oh, but you have to be same number. Because this year, the month of Ramadan was 27 days. You only fasted 24. You owe Allah 3 days, Paul. You have to fast it 3 days next month, the month of Shabbat. Okay? Allah, you get a calculator, man. Use your phone. Now, thank Allah. Now we got your phone, we got computer. You write down everything. Okay, I owe Allah 6 days. Okay? You fast the 6 days next month. It's easy, man. Allah does not want to make it hard for you. Allah desires the ease for you, and he does not desire the difficulty. Why in the world do you even repeat the sentence? When you say Allah desires ease for you, do you have to tell me he does not desire the difficulty? Don't you see that redundant? Repeating the same sentence with different words? But that's the beauty of the Quran. What come up as that, sir? And that you may Allah.
Kabir Allah, whatever that is. What's Kabir?
Allahu Akbar, Takbir. Allahu Akbar, Takbir, Takbir. Shout Allahu Akbar, man. What's wrong with you? You've been with me all this time. You don't know what Kabir means?
Kabir, no.
Make Allah bigger.
Oh.
Make Allah. Allah is
but bigger. Does Allah need to get fatter? Is that what we're saying? Or
it's yeah, it can make him fatter. Yeah, yeah, that's true. Kabir is the opposite of Saghir. Kabir is bigger, Saghir is smaller. When you Muslim Takbir, Allahu Akbar. One man would say, Takbir. And all the Allahu Akbar. Allah is bigger. Allah is bigger. I know Muslims do not know how to lie. So they tell the ignorant Americans, it means God is great. What's his name? The Senator McCain, the idiot Senator McCain.
Yeah.
They told them, you're supporting extremists. You're supporting the rebels, the jihadists of Syria. You're going to give weapons to the enemy of life. So what do you mean by that? They were shouting along. They said, nothing wrong with the word Allah Akbar. It means God is great. Stupid idiot McCain. No, it means Allah is bigger. And Muslims shouted when they pray. And Muslims shouted when they do the Hajj. And Muslims shouted when they kill an infidel. My daddy is bigger than your daddy. We're taking you down, buddy. We're teaching you. So, Kabir Allah means shout Allah Akbar for his guidance. And once again, perhaps you may be thankful. How do you like that? Perhaps you may fear and perhaps you may be thankful. Who's speaking that? Allah. Allah, the God of perhaps.
Well, it doesn't know. Perhaps is his answer.
This is our first verse, and it is 11 o'clock. I cannot go to the next verse. So what's okay? Next Saturday, we'll cover a little bit more of that comedy of the verses of the Quran, which Muslims use it as a foundation who is a practice of pillar of Siam, the pillar of fasting. All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll move on to our study, Moses. What was the concept about Moses, program number 16?
We're taking a quick break, and I will be playing a promo from the ministry.
For the last 14 months,
Muslims claim that the Quran is the final revelation of Allah to mankind, a perfect book given to us through.
Muhammad claimed that his only miracle was the Quran itself, but is it a clear miracle of God, or is it just a confusing deception of man?
Over and over, Allah states through his prophets in the Quran that the Quran is a clear book, a very clear revelation, easy to understand. But is this true? Can a Muslim or any reader who reads the Quran understand the truth about subject as the creation, the life of the prophet, or even the life of Jesus?
Scattered throughout the Quran, Muhammad records bits and pieces of information about famous biblical characters, such as Adam, Abraham, Moses, David, Jonah, and even Noah. But this information is disconnected and fragmentary, contradicting the Bible and even contradicting itself.
10 years ago, the Lord put on my heart to write a book about exposing the lies and the error of the Quran. But then we have faced another problem. All current English translations are corrupted. The English translators who translated the Quran to the English language hide many of the errors and the mistakes of the Quran from the English world. Then we spend several years to produce an accurate modern English translation of the Quran. And with that completed, we then begin production and have now finished our latest project, exposing the truth about the Quran.
In this powerful new two-volume set, you will discover one of the most thorough and comprehensive critiques of the Quran available in print. First, all of the references to important topics such as creation and the stories of the prophets scattered throughout the Quran are collected together into one place. Next, we examine the writings of the most respected Muslim scholars as they seek to understand these confusing and contradictory passages. Then, we demonstrate that Muslim scholars were forced to abandon the Quran and that they had to turn to the Bible for the true and authentic histories of these events in their futile attempt to reconcile the two. Finally, this comprehensive two-volume set proves that Muhammad contradicted the Bible and that the Quran repeatedly contradicts itself as it discusses these important issues.
It's time for the West to know the truth about Islam, to know the truth about its so-called prophet Muhammad. The Bible clearly teaches, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We must know and expose the darkness, the dangers, and the deception of Islam, not only to protect ourselves, but to bring the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the Muslims whom we love.
For ordering and more information, please visit thestraightway.org. Individual copies and case pricing is available.
Well, welcome back. We're glad to have you with us in this beautiful night, March the 25th of the year of our Lord 2023, program number 16 of What Does the Quran Say About Moses? Let me remind you, we're actually reading chapter 16 of volume 1, chapter 16 of volume 1 from the writing of the book. So hopefully you are enjoying what we're doing here in our study. And prayerfully, we look forward that you may get yourself these copies of these books and read the entire two volumes, 41 chapters. 41 chapters. Quran chapter 16 is the last chapter in volume 1 where we learn about the propaganda Moses of Muhammad, or the propaganda Moses of the Quran. All right. Oh, Sister Christy holds the two volumes in her hand. By the way, Christy is one of those who have helped greatly by typing And I remember many nights when she would be fighting, she would be laughing. I said, well, you're laughing. He's Sama. It's funny. What is funny? And Moses and this is funny. I love. I remember when you laugh about the ants. Remember the ants? Solomon and the ants?
I couldn't believe it. That's so funny.
The Muslim scholar gave the ants a name, and they would tell you what she was saying, and she was limping. She was walking limping.
And you said, you know, these are like cartoons. Everything talks, like in a cartoon.
And, you know, by the way, when we were working that, there was a brand new movie is made, and it's called The Ants. Or I just got to see that. Maybe the movie was an year old or 2 years old, but I never saw. And in that movie, ants talk. Have you seen that movie, Paul?
A movie where ants talk?
Yeah, it's cartoon.
Yeah, it's like a cartoon movie. I think it was a Disney movie.
I've seen that, yeah.
So anyway, so I don't know, is really the Muslim are giving the people of Disney some ideas, like the big bird, even the big bird. In the Quran, the bird talk, you know?
He watched Sesame. So Muhammad was watching Sesame Street.
No. He is the source of Sesame. Those Muslims work in Hollywood are literally putting many of the fairy tales of Muhammad into action. So the big bird, the ant. How about the other one? Alibaba and the 40 cities. You know Aladdin, lamb.
That's right. And the genie
came out of it. That is the only source of the genie. Whoa! 10,000 years. The only source for the genie is the Quran. You could not find it in any other book. There's some influence of Muslims working with Disney or have some know somebody in Disney to put these made up cartoons and stories and movies for our children, which is originally Islamic sources, Islamic story. Okay, and by the way, Jasmine and Aliba and her father, the king, and he said, Masha Allah, in the Arabic yeah. language, he said how great Allah is, Masha Allah. Yeah. Can you imagine? We make a cartoon and we say, and Jesus said, "Thanks, some biblical love one another." Jesus said, "You cannot do that. You cannot mention Jesus in cartoon, but we can mention Mashallah." Anyway, so let's talk about the mystery Egyptian believer. The mystery Egyptian believer. Wonderful. Go ahead.
Although Muhammad left many important parts of the story, he left out many important parts of the story of Moses. We find in the following passage that Muhammad added this story, which has no details to attempt to prove its existence in the life of Moses. For we have no evidence of it in the true biblical account.
Christy, do me a favor. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Go to the book of Revelation chapter 22. It's very important. We cannot let it go.
Okay. Well, you have to let me grab my Bible. Sorry.
Okay, next time, Christy,
it's in Bible study, please. I'm sorry, my Bible's out there, and we do Bible studies.
I know, but you need to go to church with a Bible and Quran. So next time, you need to get a Bible and Quran.
I'm going to church with the Bible.
Revelation, what chapter?
Revelation 22, man. Revelation 22.
Okay. Throw this over here.
Revelation 22. I'm going to expose you, Muhammad, in just a couple of verses.
Okay. And what verse?
18. And let Chris read it. I know she does not have the Bible, but she needs to read this couple of verses. Go ahead, Chris. 18 and down. Christy Johnson.
I had to go get my Bible.
No, it's in front of you on the screen. Read it. 18.
Great. Now you do me. Ta-da.
All right.
For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book.
And? The curse?
And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things which are written in this book.
Look, see, the Bible is very clear. Any man, add or take away from the books, from the writing of the Word of God in the Bible, God will add them a punishment, or God take away his name from the book of life, which means that he's spending eternity in hell. Now, go ahead, Paul. Put me one more time. The first portion you read, although, start from the word although. Okay, go ahead, bro.
Although Muhammad left out many...
Oh, he took away!
Oh, yes.
He took away, my brother.
Yes, he did.
I mean, do you have a couple weeks? I can share with you Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Numbers, the first five books, and I guarantee you, at least 95% of these verses of these chapters are gone from the Quran.
Well,
he just took a few pieces of Moses, and he kept repeating them many times with different words. That's what Muhammad did. He took away.
And don't they claim he only wrote one book?
Yeah. the Book of Torah. Books, not a book. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah.
Five books. Okay.
Although Muhammad left out many important parts of the story of Moses, we find in the following passage that Muhammad added...
Not only Muhammad took away, he added. God help you, Muslims. You never know the true story. You don't have the real money. So when I give you a counterfeit, you may think it's real money. I guarantee you. I can take the Disney $1 bill with Mickey Mouse in the middle of it, colorful Mickey Mouse, $1 Disney money. And I will take you to many of the villages of my home country, Egypt, and you give it to people, and they say $1. They can read $1, and they believe 100% that they got one USA dollar, when in reality, they got Disney World dollar. That is exactly the problem with our dear Muslim friends when it comes to the Quran. The miracle of Muhammad. He added, and he took away from that which is written in the Bible. And Muslims do not have a clue that they hold in their hand a counterfeit. As a matter of fact, I call it a dumb counterfeit with Mickey Mouse picture instead of Washington. George Washington is gone. Colorful Mickey Mouse picture. And Muslims believe that what they have in the Quran is the perfect word of Allah. Came down from heaven in the month of Ramadan from the seven heavens on Muhammad.
And it's a story which has no details to attempt to prove its existence in the life of Moses.
What else does the Quran have any details, Brother Paul? Have you read anything
in the Quran
written with details, sir?
The details that he gives are funny, like the embryology details.
God help us. That's the truth. I think every time Muhammad gives details, he is putting himself in a deeper hole.
Exactly.
And when he tells you, on the right side of the mountain, wow, that's so much details. And the people said there were six, and the dog is the seven. And the people said there were eight, and the dog is the nine. And the people said there were 12, and the dog is number 13. And nobody knows the number except Allah. And Allah will not tell us how many there were. What a dumb Quran. What a comedy book. What a dumb counterfeit. So he make up story. And he does not give us details. And when he gave us details, he never gave us the answer for the details. We did not know how many people were sleeping in the cave. And by the way, they sleep in the cave 309 years. It's exactly, he gave you the details. How many we don't know? Allah does not know. Only Allah knows. And Allah will not tell us. Leave it alone. What a beautiful.
Has no details to attempt to prove its existence in the life of Moses, for we have no evidence of it in the true biblical account.
It's a made-up story. When he added, that means it was not there. If it's not there, I will not know how to prove it wrong or false. But the beauty, I don't even know what in the world he's talking about. From Egyptian believer? Egyptian believer in Moses? With no details. It must be true. It must be true. Since I cannot prove it's wrong, and you don't have any detail about it, that means it did happen. Hello? You don't believe me? Ask Chrissy. Chrissy, if I give you a story without any detail and nobody talk about it anywhere else, can you prove me that's the wrong story?
Actually, no.
Therefore,
well, that's what we call con man language, so you
that's
can't,
crazy.
So you take it any way you want. It's like, you can, it's con man.
Go ahead,
Tell
me about this mystery.
Well, you call this subtitle this, because of this. The mysterious Egyptian believer. I like it. No name has been given to the character.
Neither Muslims nor Christians can prove it or disprove it, but it's there. Therefore, it must be true. Okay.
Ibn Kathir stated that he was returning to this, the advice, the preaching, and the objection of this mysterious believer. As is written in Quran 40:28-29, and as a believing man from the family of Pharaoh, who was hiding his faith, said, "Will you kill a man because he is saying, 'My Lord is Allah'? And indeed, he came to you with the proofs from your Lord. And if he is a liar, so his lie is against him. And if he is truthful, some of what he promises will fall on you. Surely Allah will not guide who is extravagant or a liar."
Let's stop here before you read 29. You give me too much in that verse. I cannot even swallow.
Well, it doesn't coordinate. I mean, it doesn't flow. It's broken. Oh. Yeah, it's crazy.
I'm losing my mind. The mysterious believer is the mystery of the word of Allah in the Quran. It makes you go crazy. So you cannot read a verse, a four sentence, without stopping. I could not breathe. I need to breathe. I need to have, give me some time to be able to handle the mystery of the word of Allah in the Quran. So we're going to get it. "And a believing man from the family of Pharaoh." The entire Egypt is the family of Pharaoh. You know that? According to the Quran. Pharaoh and his family were destroyed. Remember we talked about that last week?
Yeah.
The family of Pharaoh. One of the family of Pharaoh is a believer. By the way, he was a man. Woo-hoo, bro. We got more information than he can handle, your brother. He's a man, and he was a believer. And he's from the family of Pharaoh. What else do you need, man? Come on, brother. You got plenty of info there. If I give you any more, maybe you blow your brain, man. Okay? So now, who was hiding his faith? Why he
his
was
faith
hiding
in what?
Faith? Huh?
His faith in Allah?
in Islam. His faith in Allah, his faith in Moses, okay? Said, notice, he was hiding his faith, but what he's speaking goes against the hiding of the faith in his heart. If you're hiding your faith, you don't say anything about it. You know that? But if you have some faith and you talk, automatically figure out you're a believer. When you defend Moses, you're a believer in Moses. Are you following me, Christy Paul? I'm talking to myself here. Allah in the Quran said, that man was hiding his face. Listen to what he said. "Will you kill a man because he says, because he is saying, 'My Lord is Allah'?" Why he says that? Is he leaning towards Moses, or he's leaning to his family, Grandpa Pharaoh or Daddy Pharaoh and his beloved family? And indeed, you know what the word indeed means?
Also,
for certain, for sure, Christy.
Yeah.
So he's not actually thinking, well, this is just his opinion. I mean, the guy said, Allah is my Lord, and that's his belief, and that's his opinion. Who cares? It could be wrong, could be right. That is, a man could be holding the stick in the middle, hiding his face. But this is it. "And indeed, for certain, for sure, he came to you with the proof from your Lord." I don't know, how can you hide your faith, man, after you make that one sentence here?
It's very...
I mean, if you hide in your faith, Christy, and you make that statement here, what do you do if you declare your faith?
Well, you're not hiding it. So it's...
But the problem is Allah in the Quran does not know what he's talking about.
Obviously.
Who memorize the Quran and shakes their head as they read the Quran, you know, they analyze the Quran, there's contradiction almost every page. Contradiction every sentence. If you're hiding your face, why are you defending the man? If you're hiding your face, why you said indeed he came to you with the proof from your Lord? He is telling them that Allah is him, their Lord. Not his Lord, your Lord. He's going to make them all believers now. The man who's hiding his face. God help me. I wish Christians can hide their face like that man is hiding his face. Therefore, there will not be Muslim in the world. We can get rid of Islam and Muhammad and the Quran if we can really hide our face like that Egyptian. How can you hide your face when you are preaching?
Yeah.
That doesn't work.
Okay. And then what happened after that? "And if he is a liar, so his lie is against him. And if he is truthful, some of what he promises will fall on you." Some
He's truthful. He's on the time.
Why some, man? If he's liar, he's lies against him. And if he's truthful, all what he says will fall on you. Not some. What's some have to do with anything, you idiot?
Sound like he's out to scare people, which is pretty bad.
When we read the biblical account, it Moses said, tomorrow there will be a lot of locusts will cover the earth. And then the following day, few locusts cover the earth. Some of the locusts came down. Is that what we read in the Bible?
No.
Some of what he said, not all of it. So what is the wisdom of Allah to make that believer say some? It doesn't make sense. That's not that's contradiction. That's nonsense. Some of what he promises will fall on you. Surely, once again, first he said indeed. Now he's using the word surely. Surely means what, Paul? Maybe or yes?
Maybe. Surely. Possibly. I mean, you're pretty sure it's going to happen.
Surely Allah will not guide he who is extravagant, a liar. The man talk about Allah, I'm sorry, as he is 100% a believer in Allah. But somehow, that mystery Egyptian believer from the family of Pharaoh is hiding his face. I wish our Christian churches, preachers, would be as bold as that man. Trust me, we'll have revival in our churches in America. Okay. 29. I'm sorry, Paul. You were reading that verse too fast, man. I couldn't stop you.
Okay. 29. Oh, my people, the kingdom is yours today. You are the ones who appeared on the earth. So who will help from the torment of Allah if it comes to us?
Let's stop here for a second. Now, he's not just preaching. He's actually had the spirit of encouragement, man. He is actually doing evangelism in Egypt. That secret believer is doing evangelism in Egypt. I wish our Christian ministers and Christian believers in our churches tomorrow will follow his steps. Once again, we'll have a revival of the world. He's telling them, oh, my people, he's speaking to all the people, the kingdom is yours today. Salvation is yours today. God's glory is yours today. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is yours today. Man, if that's not preaching, I don't know what preaching is. How? Kingdom is yours today. You are the one who
appeared on the earth.
On the earth. Now you are found on the earth. Now you are living on the earth. So who will help from the torment of Allah? I mean, the guy know about the judgment of God. The judgment of Allah. If you will not repent, if you will not give the guidance of Allah, you're going to be tormented by Allah. You're going to go to hell. If it came to us, if the torment of Allah came on us, what happened next sentence here?
And Pharaoh said, I will not let you see except what I see.
How in the world is Pharaoh coming in the picture here?
I have no clue because we don't know that.
Okay, do you think that we're missing few sentences between that last statement and Pharaoh? Something is missing there. And I mean, the context is
entering Pharaoh. The room. Or the guy entering the room with Pharaoh.
Give me an evidence that the Quran missing verses. Just read it from the Quran. Just read a page in the Quran. You don't have to read any books written about the missing verses of the Quran. Just read any page. Because somehow one person will be talking and somebody else will be talking and then a third person will be talking and you cannot connect these verses. If you don't connect the verses, here's the evidence that the Quran has been corrupt. As a matter of fact, if you see how Zayd ibn Thabit collected the Quran and learned about the collection of the Quran, that is after Muhammad way died, and those memorized portions of the Quran are dead. Now you figure out why the Quran is written like that. So Zayd ibn Thabit will be sitting in front of the mosque. And a guy comes to him, he says, I remember, you remember what? I remember it was written in the Quran. What it was written in the Quran? And then he said, "Oh, my people, the kingdom is yours today. Appear on the earth. So who will help me from the torment of Allah if it comes to us?" So Zayd ibn Thabit will write it down on that spot. On that spot. A couple of weeks later, another guy came, but by the way, you have to have two witnesses to every one of these verses. Does anybody else remember that statement here? Yeah, okay, come here. Go, write it down. The following 2 weeks later, another guy came and said, I remember there was a verse in the Quran. It says what? Pharaoh said, remember, at the time of Zayd ibn Thabit, right in the Quran, there was no verse numbers. We're not reading Quran, verse 29 and verse 30. No. Chapter 40, it does not have even chapter. It's just the book is called Ghafir, and that's the end of it. The book is called Bakr, that's the end of it. And Zayd ibn Thabit will squeeze the verses anywhere he wishes. As a matter of fact, that's exactly what happened with Muhammad. So Muhammad will feign and will foam from his mouth, and will crunch his teeth, and he will sweat with tears, and he will be red-faced, and he will face on the ground, and he'll come back out of it, and then he will say, "What's happened, O Prophet? And a believing man from the family of Pharaoh, who was hiding his face, said, "Will you kill a man because he says, my Lord is Allah?" Where do you want to put this, O Prophet? Put it in the cow. Put it in Ghafir. Put it in Al-Tawbah. Chapter 9. They squeeze it anywhere they want. That's why when you study the Quran, you find Quran written in Mecca in the first 15 years of Muhammad, and in the middle of that chapter, verses written in Medina in the last 10 years of Muhammad. And amazingly, the opposite is true. Chapters written in Medina in the last 10 years of Muhammad, and inside it, there are verses written supposedly in the early days of Muhammad in the first 15 years when he was living in Mecca. Imagine me, what a great organized book. That in one chapter, you can have verses from the early 10 years of Muhammad, 13 years of Muhammad, and in the same chapter, verses written in the last 10 years of Muhammad. And what is more beautiful than that? Some of the verses in Medina were abrogated by verses written in Mecca. So the new verses given to Muhammad was canceled by early verses given to Muhammad 10 years early or 15 years early. If you believe the Quran is the miracle of Muhammad, you need some help mentally. You're physically, mentally foolish. You're stupid. Study the Quran. Study the collection of the Quran by your Muslim scholars. Study the verses of the Quran, Mecca and Medina in the same chapter, and the chaos of the Quran, and you realize, whoa, nothing I believe about the miracle of Muhammad is true. So the man was preaching, the fickle believer was preaching, and somehow Pharaoh jumped in the middle of the page of the Quran. Pharaoh said, "I will not let you see except what I see. And I will not guide you except to the right way." I'm sorry, Paul. I'm sorry. That verse is not in the right spot. Somebody put that verse in the wrong spot. Help me out, Christy. I know you've been quiet tonight. Can you tell me some explanation? How in the world Pharaoh jumped in the end of the story of that mystery Egyptian believers?
Well, my guess is they just need a little more on that topic. Threw it in there.
I think there was a waiter serving a bunch of verses, and he fell, and these verses just got in the order that they.
Well, the dish is just on the floor.
And one of the verses or two of the verses were stuck to the floor or got buried in the sand when they were trying to clean it up.
maybe there was a bunch of other verses in the middle, and another goat like the goat of Aisha,
yeah,
ate them.
That could happen.
Well, I hate to think about what was in there. Oh my gosh, if you had to go eat these things.
Let's now listen to the great Muslim scholars. Ibn Kathir himself is going to help us, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen, to understand the mystery of that story and Pharaoh jumping in the middle of the page with some sentence that don't make any sense. Go ahead, brother.
Ibn Kathir explained that this mysterious believer was the cousin of Pharaoh.
Let me ask you a question, Ibn Kathir. Were you there, you idiot, you big fat liar? Were you there? The, Does Allah prophesy to you that like Allah prophesied to Muhammad? How do you know that he was his cousin? How did he know? Do you read it anywhere else in the Quran? I know the Bible, interpret the Bible. There's a verse in the Bible I don't understand. I go to the same subject somewhere else, and now I got to understand the true meaning of these verses. The Bible, interpret the Bible. The Quran, interpret the Quran. Where in the Quran we found that one of the cousins of Pharaoh was a secret believer? Do you read that anywhere in the Quran?
That's thing.
But trust me, when Muslims read Ibn Kathir writings, they say, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, mashallah, mashallah. What a great scholar. He knows, man. It's Ibn Kathir, Paul. Christy, that's Ibn Kathir. That's not anybody. That's Ibn Kathir. Ibn Kathir knows everything. Ibn Kathir is a Muslim with the color. He knows Islam much better than any of it. Ibn Kathir can smoke you some of that. You some of that think he knows anything about Islam. You some of that think he's stupid dumb. Ibn Kathir is the source of our knowledge. When in reality, Ibn Kathir is a stupid idiot and is used by the devil to help Muslims to believe in a lie, which is the lies of the Quran. Go ahead, bro.
Ibn Kathir explained this believer was a cousin of Pharaoh, and he hid his belief because he was afraid that the Egyptians would kill him. Then Ibn Kathir inserted the second opinion that he was from among the Jews, for he was an Israelite.
Wait a minute. Was he Pharaoh's cousin, or he's a Jewish guy?
That's very good.
And Ibn Kathir is a scholar. And some people said, Usama, you cannot use the word dumber instead of scholar because dumber is not an English word. Excuse me. That teaching of him is dumb. Therefore, I can invent the word dumber for Ibn Kathir, and it's perfectly fit. Perfectly fit.
Well, they even have a movie called Dumb and Dumber, and I think we're there. We're describing this. So, yeah, it works.
Keep going. Tell me more about Ibn Kathir. What do you
think? Okay. The Jews, if it was an Israelite, saying that this was not true because it did not fit the wording of the sentence. He ended by saying, and Allah knows best.
He does not know. The great Muslim is the color of Ibn Kathir. Allah knows. He does not know. Maybe he was the cousin. Maybe he was a nephew. Maybe actually it was a niece of a Pharaoh. Keep going, man.
Ibn Kathir said that Ibn Abbas said that not one of the Egyptians...
Ibn Abbas is the first cousin of Muhammad. Ibn Kathir comes 600 years later after Muhammad. But Ibn Abbas is the cousin of Muhammad. Ibn Abbas said that it is true. Like if Aisha said it, it is true. Okay, tell me about Ibn Abbas.
He said that not one of the Egyptians, except for two, believed in Moses.
Ibn Abbas was there too. He was with the Moses and he saw the Egyptian. Only two believed in Moses. Only two Egyptians believed in Moses. Not according to the Bible. Many Egyptians believed in Moses and they left Egypt and traveled with Moses. These are the foreigners who became Jews out of the Egyptians. Not too many. But I don't know, where did people come up with this number? Where did they come up with these stories? Go ahead, brother.
These were a man who came from the far end of the city.
You see? Now I'm giving you details, man. You cannot argue with them. They came from the far end of the city. Like the guy who wrote to us before, from the right side of the mountain. If I give you details, where did they come from? From the far part of the city. They actually traveled a long walk from the other end of the city. Now I'm telling you more details to prove to you I'm not lying. I'm telling you the truth. As if Egypt is one city, Sister Christy. Egypt is one city. The country of Egypt now became one city. Like the stupid Allah in the Quran, when told Moses in the book of Cal, I believe it's the book of Cal, enter the city. He meant the promised land. The promised land became a city. Enter the city from the door. As there is one door, which if you go through it, you go to the promised land. You see, Muhammad had a great imagination. So is his Jibreel. So is Allah. So is the stupid Muslims who believe in Muhammad, who believe in the Quran, who believe in Jibreel, who believe in Allah. It's a big topic. It is the huge level of stupidity among Muslims. And you cannot even talk with them, man. Now they already issue a fatwa for me to be voted down of what I just said tonight. Forget about the last 15 programs about Moses. Tonight is enough for some Muslims to kill Usama Daqdo because he insulted Allah and Jibreel and Muhammad and the Quran. These people don't use logic. These people are super, super stupid. You tell the truth about Allah, you're dead. You tell the truth about Muhammad, you're dead. You tell the truth about the Quran, you're dead. Especially we're in the month of Ramadan. We're in the month of Ramadan.
Ibn Kathir say that Ibn Ab- okay, I'm sorry. When Pharaoh decided to kill Moses.
Wait a minute. These were a man from the far side of the city and Pharaoh's wife.
Thank you. These were a man who came from the far end of the city and Pharaoh's wife. When Pharaoh decided to kill Moses, he took counsel from his people. This believer feared for Moses' life, so he spoke to Pharaoh to calm him. Then he ran into Moses far away from the city and told him that the people of the city desired to kill him and advised him to leave Egypt.
Man, oh man. I mean, literally, Ibn Abbas fixed big problem with the Quran. Because we read about that man who came from the far of the city, but we don't know who is he. Now Ibn Abbas, so smart, he thought him to be that mystery believer. And he went all the way. He, calm down, Pharaoh. Oh, Uncle Pharaoh, calm down, man. If he doesn't the truth, maybe some of what he said will come on us. If he lies, Mr. Pharaoh, Uncle Pharaoh, then his lies is against him. He calm him down, man. You see? Now I understand the Quran. The beauty of the word of Allah, the Quran, it's beautiful. You cannot read the Quran unless you believe in Allah and in Muhammad. He calmed down Pharaoh. How did he know that he calmed down Pharaoh? How do you know he's Pharaoh's cousin or Pharaoh's niece? How do we know?
How do we even know he's calming down Pharaoh?
I'm saying, all this is made up. Wonderful Muslim scholars. Okay, go ahead, read the story then.
We can find this story in Quran 28:19-21. So when he desired to seize the one who is an enemy to them, he said, "O Moses, do you desire to kill me as you killed a soul yesterday? Do you only desire to become powerful in the land and you do not desire to come of the good?" And a man from the remotest part of the city came running. He said, "Oh, Moses, surely the leaders are consulting to kill you. So get out. Surely I am an advisor to you." So he got out from it in fear, vigilant. He said, "My Lord, deliver me from the unjust people."
First of all, we have to understand that what is written in that story of the Quran is wrong. Biblically, Moses killed an Egyptian first time who was beating a Hebrew. The second time, there was no Egyptian. There were two Hebrews, not the same Hebrew the day before. The two Hebrews fighting with each other. And he said to them, "Why are you doing that? Your brother said, are you going to be a king? What do you think? You're going to be over us here, leave it over us? You tried to kill us like he killed the Egyptian." And he knows that nobody saw him before because the night before, or the day before, when he killed the Egyptian, he buried him in the sand. It was not somebody running from far away from the city. It was not the secret believer, the cousin of Pharaoh or the niece of Pharaoh or the whatever Pharaoh's friend. It was the two Hebrews, one of them dead to Moses. It was not an Egyptian, period. And when Moses found out that news is spread and people know about it, and then he found out Pharaoh wants him to be dead, Moses left by his own. Egypt to the land of Midian because he was fearful for his life. Not what we read in the Quran. What we read in the Quran is fairy tale, made up. And now you read Ibn Abbas, Ibn Kathir, Ibn Abstamiyah, Ibn Abstafar, and a bunch of idiot people who know nothing about anything, and they're all making up more Quran for Allah and for Muhammad. Help Muhammad, people. Please, let's make sense out of the nonsensical Quran. I do not.
I do not see how Ibn Kathir or any other Muslim scholar could have tied these verses to Quran 4:28-29. Obviously, neither Muhammad nor his Muslim scholars had any concept of the time and history of the life of Muhammad, of Moses, because a simple reading of the Bible will bring us to the conclusion that the time of Moses leaving Egypt and the time of returning to lead the Hebrews out of Egypt was 40 years, as we mentioned previously. This Pharaoh, that Moses met was a completely different pharaoh. The first pharaoh died, as is found in Exodus 2:23.
Moslem, you don't know this timeline, man. Muslim reads the Bible, they mock Allah and Muhammad and the Quran. But the problem is, Muslim never saw the real dollar. Therefore, they hold them to the counterfeit dollar of Muhammad, and claiming everything else is wrong. My dear Muslim, I encourage you, please, read the Exodus book. Read the Exodus chapter and learn about the real Moses. And trust me, read everything written in the Quran about Moses and read Exodus, and then you will lead Islam 100%. 100%, no doubt.
The conspiracy says, as this mysterious believer said to Pharaoh and his people, will you kill a man who says Allah is my Lord? And indeed he came to you with proof from your Lord. He was referring to the wonderful miracles Moses performed. I don't see where this man was hiding his belief if he spoke to Pharaoh about Moses with such words. From the rest of verses 28 and 29, I can clearly say he is no longer a believer in secret, but openly, unless Pharaoh and his people were mentally deficient, especially when he said, who will give us victory from the torment of Allah? No Egyptian believed in Allah. Here he was speaking about the power of Allah. Not only did this believer believe in Moses, but he also believed in all the stories of the Quran, which did not even exist. From the contents of his speech in verses 30 to 33, I believe he was an imaginary Muslim believer who believed in Muhammad and his made-up stories. For the Quran stated, and the one who believed said, oh, my people, surely I fear for you like the party's day. Like the habit of the people of Noah and Ad and Thamud and those who came after them, and Allah does not desire injustice to the servants. And, oh, my people, surely I fear you the summoning, the resurrection day. A day you will turn your back, retreating. You will not have any defender against Allah, and whomever Allah leads astray, so he does not have a guide.
So that mystery believer must be 100% Muslim, because he repeated everything else Muhammad said in the Quran, which written years and years after Moses is dead.
Serious believer, as we saw in the above verses, believed in the fabricated stories of Muhammad in the days of the parties, which is Quran 33, and the story of Ad and Thamud. He also believes the Allah of Muhammad, the one who leads people astray, Satan. Also in the following verses, Quran 40, 34 to 35, and indeed, Joseph brought you the proofs before, so you were still in doubt from what he brought you until when he perished. You said Allah will not send a messenger after him. Likewise, Allah leads astray who is an extravagant doubter. Those who dispute in the verses of Allah without authority, he gave them bigger wrath, is with Allah and with those who believed. Likewise, Allah seals on the heart of every proud powerful. Neither Jews nor Egyptians ever believed that Joseph was a prophet. Only Muhammad believes so. This is why I believe that this mystery man was an imaginary Muslim believer.
Amen. We'll stop here. We'll stop here. That's a good place to stop. So next time, I'm going to talk about Qumran. Moses and Karun, which is another fairy tale made up story by Muhammad. Don't you love Muhammad Christie? He makes the Bible, he makes his Quran like, wow, mystery books. Oh, Christie, if you just believe in Islam, you will become so mystery lady.
Yeah, right.
Because in reality, if you become a Muslim, you're going to cover yourself with hijab and nobody know who you are. That make you a mystery. Can't you see it, Paul? This is a Christy coming in a burqa, and now she's
no,
a
Christy. No.
appreciate you, Paul. Appreciate you, Christy. We're gonna close our program with the last 10-minute video, which is the uniqueness of Christianity. Hopefully, after that, if we have any questions, we would love to answer.
We have a few questions already, so we're definitely gonna answer those. We'll try to get to those.
Lord as well. All right. Thank you, guys. Thanks, everybody. Hey, if you have a question right now, and you are sitting in the chat room, please write your question to us. We would love to answer all of them if we know, of course, the answers. If I don't know the answers, Christy for sure will know the answers. She'll answer them. Anyway, so God bless you all. For those on the radio, we're going to miss you, and we're going to see you next Sunday, next Saturday, Lord's willing, same time, same place. So let's close our program.
It astounds me that people who are going to buy a new stereo system or a new automobile or a refrigerator will spend a great deal of time reading the magazines, looking into the consumer reports, and selecting the very best one for the money. But when it comes to their eternal souls, they flippantly say, well, everybody has their own belief, you know. One day, a famous preacher in America, Harry Ironside, was preaching on the streets. A passerby interrupted him and said, excuse me, sir, how do you expect an ordinary man like me to figure out the right way? There are thousands of beliefs in the world. Harry Ironside said, sir, thousands of beliefs? I only know of two. Said the man, there's Buddhism and Confucianism and Hinduism and Islam and all the isms of Christendom. What do you mean only two beliefs? Ironside said, there are those who believe they can save themselves and those who believe they need a savior. All of the religions of the world basically tell you there's something you need to do to save yourself. But the message of Christianity is unique in this, that it proclaims to men and women a savior. There are many people who say, well, the Bible is just another holy book. They're all pretty much the same. Now, people who say that haven't done their homework. What God did for us so that we could authenticate the message of Jesus as he came into the world was, before ever he came, hundreds of years before he came, to paint a portrait in words that would exactly describe him when he did come. One prophet said that he was going to be betrayed, and you would assume that his betrayal would be done by his enemies. No, said another prophet, it would be his friend, his confidant. You would presume that if he was betrayed by the Jews, that he would be executed by stoning. That was the traditional form of execution by the Jews. You remember, they did it with Stephen. They tried to do it with Paul. No, says another prophet, they will pierce his hands and his feet. In fact, the description of the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus, written about 1,000 years before it happened, describes his crucifixion more than 700 years before crucifixion was invented. You would assume that if a man was to be sold for a price, according to Jewish law, a man would be sold for 50 pieces of silver. No, said the scripture, he will be sold for 30 pieces of silver. Now, isn't that an astounding fact? The very people who were trying to disprove his messiahship knew that scripture. And all they had to do to disqualify him from being the Messiah was pay 31 pieces of silver, and he wouldn't have been the Messiah. And they paid 30 pieces of silver and sealed the amount of money in the public record. Where would the Messiah be born? Where would he come from? Matthew quotes, first of all, that Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. So said Micah, chapter 5, verse 2, perhaps 750, 800 years before the Lord Jesus came, Messiah would be born in Bethlehem, Judah. You arrange the town you're born in. You try to arrange the family you're born to. I suggest it would be a bit tough to do. But you see, that's not the extent of it, because as I pointed out, it was those who did not want him to look like the Messiah who paid the 30 pieces of silver and who authenticated his messiahship by that. I've given you fulfilled prophecies. There are over 300 of them. Now, my friend, you've got to do something with that. You can ignore it. But if you examine the Word of God, you will discover that unlike any other religion in the world, God has taken your brain seriously, and he has given you hard evidence to believe that Jesus has proven himself to be the Messiah, the Son of God, and declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that gives you evidence in history to authenticate its truthfulness. But there's more. Some people think that if they do good in certain situations, that they will get a credit with God to overcome the bad things they've done. Some people say, well, I think I'm a pretty good person. Listen, you don't even come up to your own standards, let alone God's. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, in other words, by seeking to live a good life and keep the Ten Commandments, live by the golden rule, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. Everybody falls short of God's standard. A sinner you are, no matter how good you think you are, they barred because their own sin and failure has kept them from meeting God's standard. There is an alternative. It is the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto before all have sinned. Christianity is the only belief system in the world that lets you be honest with God about your sin. You ask someone who's trying to get to heaven by the good works, oh, really? Not bad, huh? Well, doing pretty good, doing my best. Well, you are. I've never met anybody who does their best, even by their own standards. God doesn't ask you to pretend you're okay. He wants you to be honest with him. Now listen carefully. And you may not believe me at first, but it's true. Christianity is the offers a savior. Islam doesn't offer a savior. Islam says save yourself. It's a do-it-yourself religion. And all the religions of the world fall under the same category. You do it, and if you do it well enough, you'll get to heaven. And as long as you think you can save yourself, any religion... only one, and his name is Jesus. Now, save yourself is an absolutely ludicrous statement. If you're in a burning building and you're screaming out the window, I say, save yourself. Listen, if you can save yourself, you don't need to be saved. When Christ died on the cross, he paid the debt you owed. In your sin, he has offered you his rightness, his righteousness, as a gift, a free exchange. Ultimately says that when you stand before God, you're desperately hoping that he's going to fudge a bit to let you into heaven. There's no follower of any religion that says, when I stand before God someday, I'm going to say to him, okay, God, here's your challenge. Put my life up on this side. Put your law on that side. And I challenge you to find one thing wrong with my life. Is that what people are going to say? Oh, no. They're hoping against hope that somehow they're going to slip in, maybe in the top 0.5%, you know. Maybe they're going to get in if God won't be too careful at looking at their life. However, can I expect to get into heaven? Oh, says God, here's what we'll do. I'll account your debt to my son. He'll pay it in full. So God sets the standard. God hands over the bills, and then he pays it himself. Examine the evidence. Not only the evidence in the Bible, the evidence in your own heart that you're a sinner and you need a savior, and you can't save yourself. And then read what the Bible has to say about the Lord Jesus, the Savior of sinners. He came to save you. And if you will, as the Bible declares, be honest with God about your sin. That's what the Bible calls repentance. Whoever came to you
you would in no wise cast out. Take me now, save me now, I give up. I'll accept the gift of God, eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
So the first question, we have three.